Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I must say that he comes across as he is frustrated because
the cut was going well, or surprisingly well, actually.
When you look at this administration, I'm offended by Eric Holder and
I like everything he said and that he's been saying. He's been standing up for us.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. I think later on we have Joel Heller from Inter, which is an energy newsletter in Germany. He'll talk about the little or the small people comment from the head of BP. He mentioned the small people, and I guess somebody got their underwear bent out, you know, twisted up, or what gets bent out of shape? Your underwear, your nose, or something.
Your nose gets twisted up. Your nose gets in a bunch, and your underwear gets bent out of shape.
Right. In any event, Jesus.
No, it doesn't, man. Well, that's my understanding.
It's the other way around, man. Your underwear gets in a bunch, and your nose gets out of shape. Nonetheless, teen drug abuse is up among people over 50. What? Oh, drug abuse, teen drug abuse. Teen drug abuse is up among people over 50. Did you know that? No, it's drug abuse is up among people over 50. How do I know? I'm 57. And some billionaires want their colleagues to give away half their wealth. 877-876-PHIL. There's a lot of stories here. And I've always on this kick, you know, with my guys. I always say, you think it's news because Fox is reporting on it. CNN is reporting on it. NBC is reporting on it. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's news. It also doesn't necessarily mean if you are reading a poll that they took that poll fairly. Why do we assume that because there is a poll that's been released, it's accurate? Or it has anything to do with reality? Why do we do that? We are still very trusting, aren't we? Now, I remember growing up, the credibility gap during the they used to call it the credibility gap during the Vietnam War. They called it that because suddenly there was a credibility gap. The government said one thing and the truth was something else. And that was quite a shock for the American people. And then when Watergate finally went down, everybody realized, aha, there are lies that are told and you shouldn't trust necessarily the government. Now, the intelligent and the adult thing to do is to say, okay, I can't trust or believe anything or a lot of the things that I hear. I better double check it or somehow get to some truth. Don't get paranoid about it. And don't become so cynical that you think everyone is lying to you. But nonetheless, ask questions that make sense. Now, I've been telling you guys for a long time that, you know, media is in the midst of a bloodbath. There is a bloodbath going in a particularly broadcast media, but in media in general. There is an enormous fight going on for listeners, for readers, and for viewers. Now, why should you care about that? Well, here's why. In order to get a viewer, in order to get a listener, in order to get a reader, you have to be interesting. In order to be interesting, you have to have interesting things to say. Now, if you don't, what do you do? Well, somebody else may say something interesting, right? Or somebody else might put something interesting on TV, or somebody else might put something interesting in the newspaper. So you have to come up with interesting things. And how do you do that? Well, you make them up. Oh, Phil, they would never. Really? They would never, huh? I've been working in this business. I've been working in media for almost 40 years. They would never. You know, if you want to go down that they would never route, go down it with somebody else, because I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. Nobody says I'm going to go lie, but what they do say is that's sexy. Play up that angle. Here, I'll give you an example. Here is a poll. Dad's top choice for this Father's Day: oral sex from mom. A poll done by popular blog MomLogic.com revealed today that oral sex from mom is what dads really want for this Father's Day. A day without the kids around came in third on the list. Over 4,000 dads took this poll, choosing private time with mom over handmade crafts for the kids or booze. And a day alone with the kids was second to the bottom choice of the list of gifts. All right. Now, this is not a very, this is not a world-beating or world-breaking poll. It's just a fun poll. It does come from MomLogic.com. And so you know it's skewed automatically, right? You know that MomLogic.com is not necessarily going to put, number one, the thing that the dads really said. It's highly unlikely. Highly unlikely that married men are going to say that's their number one pick for Father's Day.
How do you know that? You're not even married.
Yeah, how do you know that? How do I know that? I'm a man, okay? I'm a man, and I was married, and I've talked to married men, and I don't want to go any further than that.
You're saying that they don't even want to have no sex with a lady?
With a lady? You talking about the wife?
Yeah, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, yeah, the lady that they married.
I'm saying that that's not necessarily their number one choice. No, that's exactly what I'm saying. And oral sex from mom, that's probably what mom wishes they'd say.
Why would she say that?
Because it's easy, that's why. It has something to do with intimacy, and it's easy.
Oh, so in other words, you're saying that a man doesn't want to have sex with his mom.
Sex with his mom?
What did you just say, man? No, I mean, well, you said sex with his mom, right?
No, I didn't. I said oral sex from mom. Dad's top choice for Father's Day, oral sex from mom. Meaning dad and mom?
From his mom.
Not from his mom. Are you listening?
Look, man, here. What's that say? Oral sex from mom. Right.
Dad!
Well, yeah, I don't know. You guys think you're making sense, but I don't think so.
Oh, you're an idiot, man. It says that it's about Father's Day. All right, so anyway, a day without, and by the way, man, I didn't know that you're like have to run your finger along the line when you're reading something.
Yeah, so what?
Oral sex from mom.
Yeah, man, I noticed that.
Number two, sex with mom. All right, so how come I'm even reading this to you? Well, the reason why I'm reading it to you is two things. Number one, wow, it's a Father's Day story. And because Father's Day is coming up, a lot of the news-producing agencies, whether it's Fox, Mom Logic, or anything else, they know that talk shows and television shows and all kinds of people doing all kinds of things are going to want to have stories about Father's Day. So let's push that Father's Day stuff out there, and let's do something different. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know, but I know. How about this? Sex. Play up the sex angle for Father's Day. And so what do you get? You get this law, this momlogic.com, which it's not a poll of any real science. I doubt seriously whether this is accurate. I don't even think, for instance, that that they took this poll to the extent that they say they did, 2,811. If they did, it wasn't all that scientific. It's probably by, you know, a vote on their homepage. Maybe it was a telephone thing. Maybe they were standing on the street asking people questions. Who knows? It might have been an online poll. But the fact is, they skewed this so that it would be picked up by these different news agencies and broadcast. Now, it may seem obvious to a lot of you that, well, of course, Phil, but I submit to you that the mere reporting of this, and not maybe on this show, but the mere reporting of this by others, because you guys are a little bit smarter than most of the radio listeners of the world, people are going to come away from hearing this and they say, hey, how about that, man? Dads want oral sex from mom. They're going to think it's for real. They're going to think it's something that was an actual poll, and these guys actually answered the question that way, and it's, wow, this is some information we can use.
Yeah, but You.
Why don't you think about it, okay?
Yeah, man, sit back and think about it. No, but you're saying that it's not true that a guy want to have that.
I'm not saying that cats don't want to have that. I'm saying I seriously doubt that was the number one answer. That's all I'm trying to tell you. I think they pushed that to the top.
What do you think was number one?
All right, well, look. Here are the results. Oral sex from mom, sex with mom, a day without the kids, expensive booze, handmade crafts from the kiddies, a day alone with the kids, a world's greatest dad, mug, shirt, or hat. I think probably expensive booze came out first.
That's cynical.
Is that right, bud? Well, I'm so sorry. I don't know. So as most moms struggle for ideas on what to get their husbands, this survey may help you out. Check out the complete list. Oral sex with mom, sex with mom, day without the kids. Yeah, here's the whole list. And a world's greatest dad mug, shirt, or hat. Boy, they sure do give you some, you know, some things to choose from.
I don't know, man. You know, there'd be a lot of men that want to have sex with a wife. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't saying that guys don't want to have sex with their wives. What are you guys? You guys aren't hearing what I'm saying.
Well, what are you saying?
Bud, why don't you shut up, man? Because every time you open your mouth, you thought this poll had to do with a guy wanting to have sex with his mother.
That's what it said.
It says the dad, man. Husband and wife. I'm saying that that ain't going to be number one. But they had to put it to number one to make the story go so that people would pick it up, newspapers, whoever, and it would get some play. See, they want to have some play, man. Momslogic.com, whoever they are and whatever they are, they want to get a little bit of serious play, man. They don't want to be just some stupid blog sitting there on the internet. They want to get picked up by the newspapers. They want to get picked up by other news agencies, other news sites, other blogs. They want to be read out loud on a radio show like this one. Maybe Katie Couric will do it on the news. Maybe those guys on the Today Show. Next thing you know, they're writing a book. Next thing you know, there's a movie that they're making about momslogic.com. Look at that guy on Twitter, man, that you were telling me about, Robert.
Yeah, that guy, the you know, Stuff My Dad Says.
Yeah.
That guy's got a book out and everything, and they'll probably do a movie, too. So,
well, the movie? What kind of movie?
Yeah, they're going to do a TV show.
Well, they already did a TV show. They got in trouble with that crap My Dad Says. Anyway, yeah, that, and remember my favorite guy, Maddox? Remember Maddox?
Yeah, what happened to him, man?
Well, he had Maddox had a great blog. It was funny as hell, and he had a book out. I don't know what happened to him, man. That was like 5 years ago when Maddox had that book out. All right, we'll be back here. Seven celebrity mansions still to come. Seven celebrity mansions that apparently are really weird-ass. And do we have, coming up we have Shoal Heller talking about the small people comment from BP. And we might have Dean Wheeler on to discuss Bill O'Reilly, apparently very, very hurt, very seriously hurt by the comments of Rush Limbaugh saying that he was nothing more than a Ted Baxter. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil, we do have Joel Heller coming up, or Shoal Heller will be coming up in a minute, and he'll be talking with us about the, what the hell are you doing, bud?
I like the literary sound of a horn.
Turn it down, will you?
No, man, they talk about the vulva.
It ain't called a vulva, it's called a vuvuzela. So turn that thing down, it's driving me nuts.
Yeah, listen.
I'm on the air, you idiot. Turn it off, will you, before I start swinging on you.
What's the matter, man? That's called a vuvuzela.
Oh, well, now, isn't that great? Thanks a lot. It's a vuvuzela. The fact is, I'm on the radio, right? Vulva.
I'm sorry. That's what I thought it was.
God, that drives me nuts, that sound, man. It's like Rance was saying. Sounds like bees.
Yeah, that's right. Sounds like a bunch of bees. You can hear it.
Oh, what is it with you guys? You got the vuvuzela or whatever the hell?
No, man. Call it a vuvuzela.
Oh, God. Seriously, and I shouldn't say this, this is going to be very cruel to me, but what kind of a mental deficient stands there blowing one of these things until time itself ends?
It's all about the excitement of the game, man. You keep blowing on a vuva, or whatever they're called.
Yeah, it's called a vuvuzela.
Call of a vuvuzela, all right? I'm going to ask the question again. What kind of a mental deficient stands there and blows on one of those damn things until the cows come home? What is it with you, man? You really like that, don't you?
I want to get one of them. Blower, look at that. Isn't that bitching?
Yeah, now I know. You're the kind of guy that, if you don't turn that off, I'm going to flip my lid, man. I think I'd rather watch that oil pump it into the Gulf than listen to that.
Are you kidding me, man? That's terrible. I'd much rather have the call of Vuzla than I have that.
You know, are you guys stupid on purpose or something?
Why?
I told you it's called a Vuvuzela. Vuvuzela. That's what I think it's called. And it ain't a vulva, it ain't a vuva, and it ain't a medusala. It's called a Vuvuzela.
Well, why do they call it that for? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard, even though I enjoy it very much. I like to listen to it and everything.
They call it the... let's see. No, well, this is the information Jace gave me. At 90 minutes... Yeah, thanks, Jace. Yeah, the game's 90 minutes long. I was asking him, how long are these damn games? Because I never know.
You know, man, a 45 aside.
I know it's 45 minutes and a half, but then they add on that time. You know, I don't know what the hell that is.
That's injury time.
The Vuvuzela is I'm saying it right, Vuvuzela, okay? I just got the word from Rance.
He didn't know anything. He'd never even been to see one of those.
Yeah, how's he know?
Because maybe he looked it up.
On Wikipedia.
Maybe he looked it up on Wikipedia. I don't know. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton had to look up Alabama on Wikipedia to make sure it was on the Gulf Coast. Boy, what a cluster. You know what that is, man. That Gulf oil thing. Good God. That BP. I got your BP. The only thing that's worse about this is that we can't get down to the business of fixing this thing. We got to make sure that we get the political points in. We got to make sure that everybody knows whose fault it was first. I got to tell you something. You know, I hate to say this, but we were saying this during the Uncensored pre-show where we're allowed to use four-letter words, and boy, do we ever.
You got that right.
I said history has a way of spelling out very clearly who was right and who was wrong. And after everybody makes all of their little points, after everyone dumps all over Obama, or they dump all over BP, or they dump all over whoever they wanted to... You know, saying it a whole bunch of times doesn't necessarily mean you're going to come out on the right side of this thing. And in 30, 40, 50 years, another generation is going to look back on us, and they're going to go, boy, did they have their heads shoved so far up their rear ends on this thing. The fact is, in our efforts to exploit our natural resources and our energy reserves, we allowed a company to push the envelope, and they busted right through it. And they didn't have a stopgap, a backup as to how to contain something at that depth that's out of control. And so here we are. It's happened before in the history of mankind. This isn't going to end the human race, but I'll tell you something. It's going to affect the environment down there and the economy of that area for, God, decades. If they don't get this thing cleaned up, I mean, when I say cleaned up, I mean they've got to cap it. They've got to stop that thing in its tracks and begin to burn off or skim off the oil that's on the surface, try to do something with the oil that's submerged, and maybe, you know, they can reclaim part of that area. But good Lord, this is just a nonstop continuing flow of oil, and it ain't helping anybody, and it's not helping the situation at all to score your little political points about Obama. I mean, all right, he's the worst thing in the world. And we just made the biggest mistake voting for this guy. He sucks. He's no good. Get him out of there. Get somebody who's really cool in there in 2012 who's going to make the whole thing just chill, all right? Now, how is that helping right now get the problem solved? Because the people, I know for a fact, this is like a absolute hand-to-God fact. The people that are dumping all over that guy, they wouldn't know what to do with this any more than they probably know in the great words of George Patton, any more than they know about fornicating. So they wouldn't know what to do with it. And the minute you say anything good about Obama these days, it's boy, that's just no good, man. No good. It's first we started out with a banking industry that people said was out of control and a private sector that was out of control. And how dare the federal government come in and help out and try to tell a small business what to do and this and that and this and that, or try to tell a big business what to do, this and that, the auto industry and the banking industry. And of course, when it was under Bush, it was cool. We had TARP, and then it gets to Obama. No, too much. Now, all of a sudden, we got BP and it's back on Obama for not doing enough. No, wait a minute. He could have... Yeah, don't give me this, what he could have. You don't know what he could have and what he couldn't have. Gonna stand there and give a speech? So he lays off and he lets this private company, which ought to know what it's doing, do its thing, and they don't do their thing, and suddenly this is all, it's about Obama and the government not doing enough. And of all the people in the world, Michelle Bachmann standing there, I wonder if she ever gets a good long look in the mirror in the morning sometimes and says, Jesus, are you funny? You are, I mean, how the hell have I made it this far? Now she says the government isn't doing enough. This is Michelle Less Government Bachmann. This is Michelle Obama the Socialist Bachmann. Now she wants Obama to be all over this thing like white on rice. Make up your mind, honey. And I say, honey, you know, advisedly, world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
Phil, and I just saw Uruguay scoring here. It is 1-0 Uruguay over the Republic of South Africa. What did you say, Bud?
What did you mean about the thing? What you said
about what?
Well, you said there's blonde haired. You said how come they got a blonde boy, and you said Odessa, and I was wondering if that's gay, if it's gay porn or something, or
yeah, what is that? Gay porn? What the hell are you talking? I said the blonde guy in the Uruguay team is because of the damn Germans that went down there after World War II.
Oh, I thought you were talking about some gayness.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, you're always talking about World War II. I thought it was something else.
No, I didn't say anything about any gay porn, man.
Well, you said blonde boy.
No, this idiot said blonde boy. I didn't say blonde boy. I said, see that blonde-haired guy that just kicked the goal for Uruguay, that Florian dude? I said, that dude is the result of the Odessa. Okay.
Yeah, well, I thought Odessa was like a gay porn production house. Ask Jason Rance.
And will you get out of here, ask Rance. Hey, Rance, you ever heard of that? I got to ask him that, man.
Well, what is it?
Odessa was after...
Here we go at a World War on a World War II.
That's right. Here we go, because Robert just asked me.
I want to know.
It was like the Underground Railway for Nazis after World War II, basically. It was a system, an organization set up by Nazis to help each other get out of Europe before they were prosecuted for war crimes. And they got a lot of people out of Europe. They got Adolf Eichmann out of Europe. They got Joseph Mengele, who was the angel of death doctor from Auschwitz. They got him out of Europe. And now I'm told there is a porn star named Odessa, real name Gia Marley. Is it a chick?
I told you.
You said gay porn, man. This is somebody else. So that's what the Odessa did. It was an organization that got people out of Europe so that they could, Nazis. Now, a lot of them settled in South America, and there was a significant German population in South America, I believe, for whatever reason. I think you could buy land. The Japanese settled in Brazil. There's a significant Japanese-Brazilian population down there.
What do they call them? Like Japo-Brazil?
Yeah. Japo-Brazil? No, man.
What are you laughing about?
What are you asking me, man?
You said the Japanese settled down in Brazil. I was wondering, what did they do?
What do you mean, what do they do?
What do they call them?
What do they call the Japanese people in Brazil?
Yeah.
Japanese Brazilian?
Oh, well, but they usually shorten it up like the Japo, or Japo Brazilian or something.
Where you get this Japo, man? What is that?
Because they always shorten it down. Like, for instance, they say Russo or Chino. Like, yeah, they say Chino for the Chinese. For the Chinese.
No, they don't. They say Sino. S-I-N-O.
What's that about?
I don't know. Now you guys are getting into a conversation here I don't want to have, okay? They'll say like Sino-Russo relations. Yeah, I know. This is sort of a shorthand that they use in the news. I've never heard Japan referenced as Japo. I've heard of what do they call that? They call it the Russian, I forget now. There's a term for the Japanese that they used to use in the shorthand, you know, for the, like the Japanese-Russia. There was a war between Russia and Japan. I forget what it was called. But in any event... What are we talking about here, man? I was talking about this guy that scored a goal for Uruguay. Get out of here and take that stuff with you.
I just wanted to know.
Get out of here. God.
Well, Mel, you look very interesting to ask a question about that.
I know, man, but I started out talking, hey, Uruguay's 1-0, and where am I now, Japo Brazillo? Wow.
It's your fault. You get into it.
Yeah, my fault because I'm answering stupid questions. That's my fault. 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me here is David G. Hall, and he's our vice president of syndication. David, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. I don't know whether you saw the Oprah Winfrey article, and I thought, given the relations you have with your staff, if there was something you had in mind. And I was, I'm sorry to do this on the air, but I knew that you wanted to talk about this. I was on my way home.
Are you talking about the Oprah Winfrey article where she's given $10,000 and a what is it, an iPad?
Yeah, she's given an Apple computer and $10,000 to each member of her staff on O or whatever it's magazine. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
About what?
About these two, Dickman and Leonard.
I ain't giving them $10,000 and an iPad. You can guarantee I ain't getting that. There's no way.
Why not?
I ain't got that kind of money. You ought to know that.
Well, you know something, Andrew. You got the first nickel you ever earned. You got.
That's right.
Why don't you go out in the backyard and dig up another can of nickels, man? Your problem is you got those deep pockets and short arms.
And I don't have that kind of bread to give to these two guys. You crazy?
You said you wanted to do something nice for them.
Yeah, maybe I'll take them out for a steak dinner or something.
Really?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I just thought I'd remind you.
Thanks a lot for nothing. 877-876-PHIL. Now, what we wanted to do here is talk a little bit with, we were going to have on the line here Dean Wheeler to just get Mr. Wheeler on the line, if you wouldn't mind, bud, because I want to discuss with him the Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh controversy. Now, I know it's probably not much of a controversy, but Dean has some information concerning the statements, Dean, that Rush Limbaugh made.
Rush Limbaugh said, Phil, you recall it was in a, I think it was in an article or an interview. He said that Bill O'Reilly was Ted Baxter. Ted Baxter, as you know, is the character from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, who was this puffed up, rather unintelligent, but self-important caricature of a newsman. And so Rush Limbaugh called Bill O'Reilly Ted Baxter to essentially say that about Bill O'Reilly.
Well, you know what I think that Rush was saying? I think he was saying that Bill O'Reilly isn't genuine, that there isn't anything real about Bill O'Reilly, that it's all act. As opposed to what Rush does, which, in my opinion, is sincere. Rush comes from, you know, Rush knows that he's doing an act, but he also is very sincere in the opinions that he has.
Well, I don't know. I would tend to agree with you. But what I thought was interesting was that Rush Limbaugh would go after Bill O'Reilly in such a sharp manner, calling him a Ted Baxter. Now, the question, of course, is there a chink in the armor? Is there a crack in the wall surrounding the solidarity of the conservative hosts? And then I thought, more to the point, is Rush Limbaugh putting Fox News in its place? Rush Limbaugh, I think, is a legitimate claim, has a legitimate claim, to the seat of a preeminent conservative commentator in America. I don't think there's anyone at Fox News that even comes close. But I think the public statements he made about Mr. O'Reilly verify that he believes he holds the preeminent post as conservative commentator in this country, and there is no one at Fox that's going to take that place, see?
Well, I would agree with that. Now, he did say, though, that he considered Hannity and Beck to be protégés.
Well, that's a far cry from saying that they're the number one conservative voices. A protégé is another word for a student or a disciple, an underling. That's what a protégé is.
Well, a protégé is more to the point, someone who eventually will succeed them, you know, with the mantle.
I don't think for a minute Rush Limbaugh thinks Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck have what it takes to succeed to that level of success. But the reason why I'm on your program telling you about this is I have to tell you, I got a big kick out of hearing from some insiders at Fox that Bill O'Reilly has been, he looks down in the mouth lately. He looks distracted. He appears to be forcing his smile on the air. It used to be that sort of smart-ass grin. Now O'Reilly has got this very pained grimace. He looks as if he's just going through the motions, and he's going through the motions very painfully.
And does that make you feel good as a liberal?
Well, yeah, of course it does. Anytime a puffed-up, overly publicized, overly praised, and underly gifted in the area of brains like Bill O'Reilly, anytime someone like that gets knocked down a notch, I think it's great. And the fact that it was done by one of his own people. You know.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, this isn't going to be any chink in the armor, and it's no crack in the dam. Look, anybody with any brains knows that Limbaugh's the man, and the rest of those guys are pretenders to the throne. And I think that Rush held off saying it for whatever reason, and he finally came out and said it because, look, O'Reilly's one of those guys that begs for he just begs to be parodied. He begs to be made fun of. He's like a comb-over boy. You know.
Well, I would agree with you about comb-over boy.
And we're talking about Tom Likas when he used to do a radio show. That guy is, you know, with that phony baloney voice of his. I mean, he was asking for it. And O'Reilly's the kind of guy that's asking for it.
Well, yeah, he is. Limbaugh is the kind of guy who's asking for it too.
Yeah, but there ain't anybody going to give it to him. There isn't anybody good enough. You know what I mean? There's nobody good enough on the right to lay it on Limbaugh in any way that's going to really make him look bad.
Well, I disagree with that. What about John Colbert?
John Colbert? You mean John Stewart?
No. The
Stephen Colbert?
Yes, Stephen Colbert. What about him?
Well, if he could have, he would have, man. And I suppose he does, but their audience is so... the audience for Colbert and Stewart is so small, comparatively speaking, that it's not going to make any difference. And I think that Bill O'Reilly will get over it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the insiders that I talked to at Fox said that Bill O'Reilly looked like he wanted to do the honorable thing.
What are you talking about?
Looked like he wanted to go ahead and walk out into a clearing in his backyard, maybe down near the Sound or the Hudson River, and the pistol shot, you know.
Oh, get out of here.
That's what they said.
He's not going to get all that bummed out about Limbaugh. You know, O'Reilly's been through it before. And you know what? One other thing, and thank you very much, Dean. One other thing about Bill O'Reilly, he probably knows what a lame ass he is. I think he knows that he is sort of insincere and doesn't really have the brain power that a Limbaugh has and probably doesn't even have the brains of a Glenn Beck. I think he understands that he is limited in that regard. He knows that his act is sells. It does very well for Fox, that, you know, jackass thing that he does. And so he probably doesn't care. At the end of the day, why would he, you know? All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. And still to come, of course, we have Shoal Heller, who will talk to us about the small people comment from the BP executives. And can the next Spider-Man be black? Stan Lee weighs in. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL and... Next hour, Shoal Heller from Inter, which is an energy blog and newsletter in Great Britain, to talk about the BP executive who made the comment, the small people. Somebody got their nose whacked out of shape because of that. Oh, well, this guy's calling us the small people. So we'll get a little perspective on that. I don't think there was any intended harm. However, this is the story now of Jonathan Metz. You remember this guy?
That's the guy with the arm?
Yeah, the poor kid trying to get an arm off, right? He tried to cut his arm off. Right, his arm was stuck in the furnace.
They do it. I thought. Is he still stuck?
Is he still stuck? No, they got him out. What do you mean he's still stuck?
Well, you see, and I just wondered, is he stuck?
How would we know about it if he was still stuck?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He could call up the news agency or something. I mean,
What is he going to do, bud? Is he going to sit there and, oh, you know, while I'm stuck here in my arm and I'm bleeding to death, let me call up the news agency and give him a play-by-play on me being stuck?
Well, if he's got an iPhone...
If he's got an iPhone.
What about, like, if he had an iPhone, I know what you're saying, that they would want to come and get him.
Would you guys listen to what you're saying? Is he still stuck? So he's stuck. He's got one arm stuck in a furnace. The other arm he's got with his iPhone. He's texting to AOL News that he's stuck and that he's going to cut his arm off with a saw blade, and he hasn't done it yet. Anyway, do you want to hear what happened or not?
Yeah.
You know, of course he got saved. He got saved by some friends, and thank God for them, because this kid was done, man. He was done. He was drinking boiler water that he caught with his shoe. He said it was the most hideous water in the world. And he literally said to himself, and this is kind of cute, he said, "What would MacGyver do?" 31-year-old man, Jonathan Metz, he said he literally wondered, what would MacGyver do? Then he spent 6 hours working up the nerve to do it. The 31-year-old Connecticut man, whose arm was stuck in a furnace boiler for 2 days, realized that cutting off the limb was the only way he'd live. Metz, who nearly did cut off his left arm last week — he never did sever the entire arm because he hit a bundle of nerves. It was so painful, he couldn't do it. He was released from the hospital, and he held a news conference Tuesday. Today's Wednesday, so this would be yesterday. Let's listen to Jonathan Metz. Here he is, explaining how he got his arm stuck in this boiler.
Without really even thinking about it, I took my left arm and kind of shoved it in between a couple of these heating fins. It happened to be very hot and sweaty. My arm was sweaty, and it slid right in. Couldn't quite reach it. Shoved my arm in a little bit further. Before I knew it, I was basically trapped above my elbow in between two of these heating fins. The next 5 or 10 minutes was sheer panic. What am I going to do? How am I going to get my arm out? I struggled. It just made it worse.
Now he explains when he came to the decision to cut off his arm with a hacksaw blade.
Let me pause right here. This is going to be a little gory, perhaps, but I just want to get it out there. Took me about 6 hours to psych myself up to the point where I thought I was capable of actually doing what I thought needed to be done. And so after about 18 hours of being trapped, with my arm stuck in the boiler, I fashioned a tourniquet out of the shirt I was wearing, tied it as best I could, and started cutting.
Oh, God. Now he says he ran into a problem as he was cutting off this limb.
The cut was going well, surprisingly well, actually, for about halfway through. There's a bundle of nerves that run down the underside of the arm, I guess, which is maybe why people are ticklish under their arms. So this is a gross understatement, but it was really smooth sailing until I hit this spot, and then the pain became absolutely too much to continue. So now I was in the position of not having accomplished either goal. I was still trapped, and my arm was still...
Oh, God. Oh, bless his heart. And his friends, he hadn't gotten to work, and he was supposed to be playing a softball game.
They came and they looked for him, huh?
They came and looked for him. Now, supposedly, he was going to get married.
Probably not now.
Yeah, I'd say not.
Why not?
Well, she wanted to be married to, like, Captain Hook.
What do you mean, Captain Hook?
Well, she's going to be married to a guy with a hook.
What do you mean, a hook? They don't put hooks on them anymore.
No chick wants to be married to Captain Hook.
You guys are kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding.
They don't put a hook on there anymore, man. They got prosthetic arms. They look just like an arm.
Well, they don't look just like an arm.
Well, they look good enough, man. She's going to be married to Captain Hook. Anyway, after surviving such a traumatic ordeal, Betts will need support going forward, according to the doctor. He says, I've seen patients like this who come through a very, very traumatic events. A month later, you could have a real psychiatric crash. Psychologists, psychiatrists, family, and support system will need to be with him. Yeah, you know, I can see that because you kind of psych yourself up. You go, I'm okay. Boy, I'm glad I'm alive. Look at this. I don't have my arm anymore. And I'll bet you could wake up, man, thinking about sawing your arm off to the rest of your life, you know?
Like a guy waking up thinking he had a cigarette, like you told me the other night.
That's right, I did.
You had one?
In my dreams, I was smoking. I am coming up on 6 months. God, I don't have enough time to tell you. Well, I think I do. The six-month anniversary of me quitting smoking will be on June 26th. Now, the longest I've quit smoking in possibly 30 years is 6 months, and I did that about 10 years ago. When I was in my 20s, I quit for, I believe, a full year, but I can't remember. So I figure when I make the year anniversary, which will be December the 26th this year, I will, one day past that, will have broken my all-time quitting smoking record.
But you already had a cigarette.
When?
You dreamed it.
I dreamed it. I didn't have it.
That's not the same thing, man.
But technically, because you wanted to have one.
Are you an idiot? I didn't smoke a cigarette, man. It was in my dreams. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Shoal Heller coming up next. Captain Hook.
Phil Hendry.
What are yours?